Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and I just wanted to say thanks very much to everybody on Twitter who's been getting in touch with me. I've probably fairly unwisely asked for suggestions for podcasting guests, and I've been kind of inundated on Twitter. And I'm trying to get around everybody who. So I'm really grateful for everybody who made a suggestion, and I'm really trying to follow all of those up. Just to let you know, coming up in the future on Outside In, we've got David Gange, who's a canoeist, talking about his book. And we've also got author Merin Glover. She'll be up in a couple of weeks, I think. But today's guest is a wildlife guide on Arran. She's a mountain leader. And she is also, I think you have to say, in the fairly esteemed position of president of Ramblers Scotland. So I was really interested to hear more about that. So my guest today is Lucy Wallace. Hello, Lucy.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you? How are you?
I'm grand. Sun is shining. And
really? Okay.
It's a glorious morning here on Arran. Yeah, it's lovely.
You're on the Isle of Arran, which I have to say is a lovely little place. I'm up in Scotland, in Inverness, where it was snowing about half an hour ago up here. So it's very different, very different. So are you enjoying yourself on Arran? Because I always think it's a bit like a little pocket island. It's got everything you need, but it's on a very small package.
Yeah, it's kind of heaven on wheels, really, especially at the moment. We've felt kind of quite safe in our own little bubble. It's got a lovely climate. It's a little bit warmer than Inverness.
Yeah.
Rains a lot, but not currently raining, so it is absolutely gorgeous. And it's got a very sleepy feel to it, especially just now, because there's not many folk here. So, it's a really lovely place to be.
I suppose fairly unusual for a lot. I mean, I suppose for a lot of places that you know, are fairly used to having a lot of tourists, this must be a very unusual, quiet time.
It has been quite a bizarre few months, even during the summer when things opened up, because there was social distancing on the ferry.
The island,
although it got busy, it didn't really kind of reach full capacity. We didn't get all the day trippers and things like that. And it has felt like a very quiet, like we've gone back in time almost the last year. And the other thing is, of course, normally in the summer months, we get this big influx of people and you don't necessarily know who's a local and who's a tourist. Mm-hmm. But of course, at the moment, everybody's local. So there's this lovely kind of gentle feeling of respect on the island. And I really, yeah, it's quite a pleasant place to be just now. So I feel quite lucky.
Right. Well, I suppose you've managed to find a silver lining to the cloud of COVID-19. I think there is a bit of a challenge for a lot of places, because obviously I think everybody's very conscious that as soon as travel is allowed, things are going to change very quickly. And it's how we manage that. It's going to be a real challenge to everybody, I think.
Yes. And I mean, again, with the ferry needing social distancing, we will be sheltered from the worst onslaught of that.
Right. Okay.
Here. But nevertheless, we are bracing ourselves because it will come as a shock to have a lot of people here all of a sudden. It's going to suddenly really transform the place, which is not necessarily a bad thing. There are businesses here that are really struggling.
Absolutely.
And you know, my own business itself is very much dependent on visitors coming and enjoying the island. But it will be very strange to have people back here in a few weeks' time. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a bit about Ramblers Scotland. How did you come crowned perhaps president? I don't know. How did that happen?
It came completely out of the blue, actually. So just before Christmas, not last Christmas, but the Christmas before, when the world was normal.
God, that seems a lot. Does that not seem a hell of a long time ago?
It seems a very long time ago. Yeah, and that I received a phone call, and now when I look back on that moment, it was a really pivotal moment in my life. So I received a phone call from Brendan Paddy, who is director of Ramblers Scotland, and he asked me whether I would consider becoming president of Ramblers Scotland, and it came as a humongous shock to me. I mean, I'm very aware of Ben Dolphin, my predecessor. He's a fantastic guy and he's done some brilliant work with Ramblers Scotland. So I was aware of the role and what it entailed, because I've seen the work that Ben had done. It just came as a total surprise. So I had massive doubts initially. I kind of thought, what on earth can I bring to this role? Little old me. I've not done anything. I don't stand for anything. I'm just me. And I had a long think, and I realized that it was a huge opportunity for me to actually get involved with some things that I really care about, and some ideas and some campaigns that really matter. And to just stand up and be counted a little bit, actually. So I was being offered this huge opportunity, so I took it, and I agreed to become Rambler Scotland. And within a couple of weeks of me being officially appointed, we went into lockdown.
Right, okay. Can you tell us a little bit about Ramblers Scotland first? Because Ramblers has been, oh, it's an organisation that's been around for a very long time. And who's in Ramblers Scotland? Because I think it's changed over the years, hasn't it?
It has changed over the years, but the kind of principles, the basic principles of the Ramblers are to encourage folk to get out and enjoy the great outdoors together in a sociable way. So we our volunteers run group walks. There are Ramblers groups all over the UK, and Scotland's no different.
Right.
And it's a very sociable and brilliant way for people to get into the outdoors, on led walks, or to learn how to lead walks themselves. Absolutely fantastic. So that's kind of one of the kind of main principles of the work that Ramblers does. But also, it's an organisation which protects access, campaigns for access, tries to open walking and the joy of outdoors up to wider groups, make it more accessible to people. Because obviously, you and I understand wholeheartedly the benefits of being outside and walking. We love that, and probably most of the listeners to your podcast are fully converted, but not everybody is able to access the outdoors in the same way. So Ramblers and Ramblers Scotland is also an organisation for anyone who walks, not just people who want to come on our group walks, but anyone who enjoys the outdoors. Ramblers Scotland is there, really kind of on your side, and campaigning for better access, better infrastructure, better mapping, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, what you've said there, from my experience, at one time I was employed in the Highlands. I worked for an organisation that our aim was to get folk out walking who weren't walking to benefit their health, and that's actually a hell of a lot more challenging from my experience than you might expect. My experience is that people who walk, like you said, understand the benefits. Getting them walking more, that's no problem, but getting people who don't see themselves as walkers, who feel perhaps alienated from the outdoors, is actually a pretty massive challenge. I think it's if you're not someone who gets out a lot, it's a very unusual, a very threatening concept. Have you found that at all?
Definitely. And I meet people through my work, actually, who are just starting to take those kind of baby steps of getting into the outdoors, and they might perhaps employ a guide, or they want to go on a wildlife walk because it feels a little bit less threatening than a mountain hike, for example. But we're sort of standing at a bit of a crossroads at the moment, because the pandemic has really changed people's attitude to the outdoors and the way, like, the population as a whole relates to being outside, for better or for worse. And so this really is a huge opportunity for us as a society to become more outdoorsy, if you like, and for people to discover the joy of walking.
How do you think it's changed things? Because that's quite interesting, because I think you're right. I think how we engage with the countryside has been profoundly affected by the pandemic. And in some ways, I'm not sure how it's going to go. But what do you see as the major changes that you've experienced?
I think being outside has become one of the places where we feel safest. And that's a bit really fundamental shift, because for a lot of people, actually being outside was not a safe place. They felt safe in the homes or in the pub or the cinema or in urban spaces. But the pandemic has really changed that. Getting outside into open spaces is a place where we feel safe. because we can socially distance, and we're allowed. We're allowed to do that. So it has been a big change of mindset for people, and we're seeing more and more people who perhaps traditionally wouldn't have been enjoying the great outdoors,
Yes,
making those first steps into kind of open spaces.
that's right,
So.
actually. I mean that keys into some of the things that I've seen, and I think it actually there's a challenge facing us now, I think,
Yes.
because I do feel that well, and you've sort of touched on it really, talking about Aaron, how nice and quiet it's been, but actually that's going to change.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge for small communities because obviously, I think you've probably enjoyed it being quiet, but at the same time, well, the Highlands generally, I mean, we the Highlands where I live, obviously, we depend for a very large extent, to a very large extent, on the income we get from tourists. And yet that promotion that we've given that over the years threatens to overwhelm us to some extent, and also threatens to destroy the very thing that we actually want people to come and see. So we've got but I do profoundly feel that the sort of reaction that we stop people camping, we stop people doing it, is wrong. I think we have to find ways of sharing the places that we live,
Definitely,
and
yes.
that's not going to be easy.
No.
What's your views on that? I'm not going to ask you as Ramblers president. You can give me your own views on it. I don't. What do you think?
Well, my views kind of align really closely with the sort of Rambler Scotland message at the moment, which is really that we need a lot more investment and support for remote
Yes.
communities.
Yeah.
And my the paradox of it, as you so neatly put, is kind of here on Arran, where the island is just it's heavenly at the moment. It's very quiet, it's very sleepy, feels like we've gone back to the 1950s. I don't remember the 1950s, but
Neither do I.
it's just so lovely, and it will feel really different when we
Yes.
get lots of strangers here. But the island also needs kind of tourism to survive, and that's th there's lots of challenges with that, and there are aspects of that which are really negative, as well as the real positives. So we do need to deal with that. What we need here on Arran, I think, hopefully it's Arran, don't mind me commenting on this, is we do need more infrastructure for things like camper vans.
Yes.
We need places where camper vans can park up, and we also need a lot more education. Of people who are using camper vans, for example, about
Yes.
what to do with their waste and how to park up and how not to disturb wildlife and people living in their homes and that kind of thing. And tourism does need to be managed in a sustainable way. And I also get the sense that, kind of looking across the Highlands of Scotland, that there are particular parts of Scotland that
Yes.
are getting hit much, much harder.
Absolutely,
So
absolutely.
people talk about, Glencoe is going to be rammed this year, but I bet that there you could probably go 5 or 6 miles outside of the Glen and you would find places that were actually really quiet.
That's absolutely the
So
case.
yeah.
I can confirm that because that's exactly what I did. I think the difference is that for me, because I know the Highlands pretty well, I know that there are the honeypots of Glenmore, in the Cairngorms. There is the North Coast 500, which I have to mention, and there are things like that. But because we're dealing with folk who perhaps are not that familiar with coming to the outdoors, maybe coming to the outdoors in Scotland for the first time, they've heard of these few places and they tend to gravitate towards them, which is quite natural. And I think what we have to do is, the Highlands is a big place. We've a lot of space, but what we're doing is we're focusing people in smaller areas. So maybe what we need to do, what I'd like to see, is smaller basic camping sites, a bit like the there's a oh, Scott Nature's camping site at the end of Loch Maree. Very,
Oh,
very
yes.
basic, not much there at all. apart from about a billion midges in
there's
in
a brilliant
summer.
One in Torridon as well, which is
that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
and it's not there's not much there. But also, I think what also worried me a bit was that we got, you know, you mentioned camper vans, and you know, that's great if that's what people want to do, but we also have to have scope for you know, somebody who's maybe unemployed and not got a lot of dosh and comes out in his little tent. Both have to be accommodated, because what we don't want to get, and I can understand why communities sort of said, well, okay, you can come if you've got a big self-contained camper, but that means that basically the countryside then becomes a preserve of people who can spend 40 grand on a camper van. You know, that is not the way we want to go. I don't know what you think.
No, and I tell you what, our little lanes can't cope with all those camper vans.
No, absolutely.
So I mean, they're very welcome, but it does cause issues. So they're not kind of, you know, necessarily the be all and end all of it all. Says me, I'm a camper van owner.
Confessed. Okay, fair enough.
Well, it's really useful for work, actually.
I'm sure it is.
Traveling about the place, it's quite handy to have a van to keep it.
Anyway, tell me I've noticed a trend, and you as a mountain leader and as you know, president of the Ramblers of Scotland, I think there seems to me, and this is I sort of wrote about this, I suppose, a bit in the past, but there seems to me there's a change in the way we relate to the outdoors, in that I do have the feeling as far as I know, organisations like the Ramblers are actually growing at a fair old pace. Is that right?
The pandemic has kind of caused a little hiccup, but prior to the pandemic. Yes, we were growing. The problem, I think, is for everyone is and a lot of the NGOs are feeling this, is that people haven't necessarily renewed are taking out new memberships as a result of that. But prior to the pandemic, membership was growing, and I would expect it to really pick up as we come out of it.
I'm sure.
Definitely, yes, say so.
I mean, I think part of it is that you mentioned that you know, the Ramblers get people out into the countryside with led groups, and I think people, a lot of strange things have happened over recent years, and the internet has changed an awful lot of things, and it's kind of, there were loads of clubs, if you go back, you know, if you go back even into the sort of beginning of walking and hiking in the 1930s, there were loads of groups, and everyone got on a coach. And they went somewhere. But things are very different now, because most people have their own transport, and they'll get a lot of their information off the internet. But there's a limit to the amount that you can actually acquire of skills about how to get out into the countryside from the internet. You basically have to do it. You have to go out and get wet. You have to go out and find out how to navigate. And is that the kind of things that your groups are really trying to encourage?
Yeah, so we have a really fantastic program of kind of developing our volunteer walk leaders. It's entirely optional. They can lead a walk, or with the kind of experience and knowledge that they have, or if they feel a little bit less confident about just starting off leading a walk, they can go and go on one of our courses and learn how to do navigation, things like that. And we're really keen to develop people's skills through the Ramblers Walk Leadership Program, and it's received really good feedback. People are really benefiting from it. I think that's quite important, that we support and develop our walk leaders.
No, I was just wondering, in order to take part in Ramblers walks, I mean, but do people need to be sort of super fit, or do they need to?
No, we have, so each group is different. They have their own kind of style and types of walks that they enjoy. Some of the walks are a little bit more badass than others. Usually walks being offered at a sort of a range of levels and kind of strenuousness. And yeah, there's something for everybody, really. The Ramblers groups are, they've got people from all walks of life and all skill levels, for sure.
So, if someone's thinking of coming on a Ramblers walk, I mean, presumably, is it without before you join Ramblers? Presumably, you're allowed to sort of like come along and have a little taster walk. Is that the sort of thing you can do?
We did have a program of introductory walks that we were getting set up for people who would be interested in joining the Ramblers and wanted to know what it's all about. That's been put on hold due to the
Right,
pandemic,
of
but
course, yeah.
I understand that that is going to be kind of rolled out again as soon as we can, really. That will give people an opportunity to have a little taste. The other thing that we do, which I'm a massive, massive fan of, which is actually back up and running again, thankfully, is we have a program called the Out There Award, which is for young people.
All
So they're
right.
out there. It's fantastic. I'm so impressed with it. So it's basically it's free at the point of access to young people aged 18 to 26, and they can come along and they can learn the skills for taking themselves out into the great outdoors, navigation, equipment, and all of that kind of thing. It's absolutely fantastic. It's a 2-day kind of award, and on the back of it, they get a year's membership of Ramblers Scotland, and most of the Out There Awards are also feeding into local young walkers groups. So we have Ramblers groups that are springing up around the country, which are being driven by young people, and it's just fantastic. I love it, absolutely love it. The work that's being done there is just brilliant. So that's really helping to support kind of new walkers coming in who might want
Right.
to learn the skills.
And presumably if someone's I mean I think it's my experience for about getting people out into the outdoors is the biggest challenge is the first step. The
Yeah.
biggest challenge is that first walk, because you're sitting there, you're thinking, I don't know whether I could manage this, or there's going to be I'm going to be staggering along behind all these people, or it's going to be too much for me. And that's a massive barrier to overcome. But presumably, I mean, you've got walk leaders that in your walks that would be able that would kind of encourage people in that sort of situation.
Yeah, our volunteers are fantastic. They're very friendly. Yes, definitely, for sure. And I mean, you're right about that kind of first walk being initially quite intimidating, potentially people worrying about their fitness and experience level. But one of the other barriers, actually, when we ask people, particularly young people, about why they're not necessarily getting out into the outdoors and walking, is not having anyone to go with. And that is the beauty of the Ramblers group walks, is that you immediately we all meet other people, and you'll have a ready-made group of folk to go walking with, which is great.
Yeah, so I mean that's you just touched on what I think is also a very important aspect of it is the is this kind of social aspect of it. You get to meet people, you get to meet like-minded people, and from my experience, for a lot of these walking groups, there tends to be a tea shop involved at some point,
Cake.
and a fair amount of cake. It gets done a fair amount of damage in at the outcome of the walk. I don't know if that's perhaps not something that the Ramblers indulge in.
So unfortunately, I haven't been on that many group walks with Ramblers Scotland thanks to the pandemic. But what I have experienced when I have been out has been a lot of cake.
There is a lot of cake
There
involved,
is a lot of
yes.
cake involved, always.
Well, that's
But you're
the
right. The social aspect of walking is I mean, some people, myself included, actually love walking alone. I love a solo walk, but there's also something fantastic about a blether and a walk, and all of that is just great. So that's what you
I
get.
to be honest, I from my experience, particularly people well, we're all socially isolated right now. It's not just, I mean, I think to be honest, I'm a terrible person for being a solitary walker. I like being out on my own, but I'm beginning to think, well, We're going to, as we come out of lockdown, I don't think there's not going to be a sudden click where things go back to normal.
No.
I think we have to, you know, I'm going to have to make the effort to be more social with people. But we're going to have to learn how to do that again. And I think groups have got do you think that groups have maybe got a role to play in that?
I do very much so, and I think I mean I personally I find that I need to be outdoors to get anything done, so I try, and if I have to have a meeting with someone, I prefer to go for a walk and a talk rather than sit in a meeting room. Obviously Zoom is not something that can happen very easily when you're going for a walk and
No,
a talk.
no, no.
But generally I think walking. So walking has been my main social activity for the last year. Yeah, I meet a friend, we go for a walk. We can't go for coffee, we can't go for a beer, we're going to go for a walk.
That's case of a lot of people, I think. Yeah, that's actually true. That you can go for a walk, you know, so it's changed that.
For sure, yeah. But it's good for us, isn't it?
I suppose it is, yeah, I suppose it is. Especially go on.
Sorry, go on. I was going to say, the other thing that's really changed for me this year is that I've got a dog and he insists on going out for a walk. And these days I never walk alone because there's always a hound at my side causing trouble. So.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. Well, dogs and walking sort of go hand in hand. So tell me, if someone was interested in joining finding out more about the Ramblers and joining a local group, what would be the best way to do that?
So the best thing to do would be to go on our website and go and have a look there. There's lots and lots of information about Ramblers groups. You can find out where your local group is, about how it all works, membership. There's also not just stuff about group walks, but there's loads and loads of how-to stuff about how to get out walking for yourself as well, if you're not keen on joining a Ramblers group straight away. So it's actually a really good point of access for anyone that's thinking about starting walking, for sure.
That sounds really good. And if not everyone, not everyone.
Okay. I would say so, yes.
Okay, well, I'll ask you that question.
They're going to kill me for not knowing the answer to that.
Well, there must be a number. There must be a number. Or there's a message thing or something. Okay, well, if someone's not, I'll ask you that again. If you're not too confident with the internet, presumably you can go on the website and there'll be a number or a way of leaving a message and someone will get back to you.
I'm still looking at the website. Right, contact us. I've got a question. Get in touch. We're here to help.
There you are.
Here we go. Right, general inquiries. So yes, there is a number a membership number that you can call, and it is 02039613232, and that will get you through to the Ramblers office. It's a small team, but hopefully someone will be able to get back to you.
I'm sure someone will. Well, thank goodness we sorted that out. Eh? Well, there you go. Eh? Well, that's been fascinating. It's been lovely talking to you, and I really wish Ramblers and everyone who wants to get out walking the very best. And I think it's really important the work that Ramblers Scotland are doing in encouraging people to get out and make friends just feel more at home in the outdoors. Lucy, okay, well, thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, John.
I'll put links and stuff to websites and numbers and things on the podcast page, and we'll take it from there. Okay,
brilliant.
Lucy, thanks very
much.
Bye. Well, thanks very much to Lucy Wallace there. And I'll put some links to Ramblers Scotland on the podcast page. And also a little reminder that you can see Lucy's review of my new book, Wild Winter, in Mountaineering Scotland magazine, The Scottish Mountaineer. And I think that's out. When I'm recording this, that's out imminently, or it might even be out by the time I get this up on the webpage. So thanks very much for listening. I do hope you enjoyed the show, and I really hope to see you again. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.